Before the end of the month, the Supreme Court will announce what could be one of the most far-reaching and important rulings in recent years, the fate of President Obama's Affordable Care Act. This is the signature domestic policy achievement of the president's first term, and its fate will be decided by the nine justices on the Supreme Court. Its journey to the court has been a pretty overtly political one that was conceded by Justice Antonin Scalia during the court's oral arguments.
Is there any chance that all 26 states opposing it have Republican governors and all of the states supporting it have Democrat governors? Is that possible?
There's a correlation, Justice Scalia.
But the justice's ruling just days away, we thought we'd take a look back and try to glean some clues from the 3 days of hearings over this law. A few people have spent as much time poring over the details as our next guest. Dr. Ryan Malfers studied all 6 hours and 14 minutes of hearings in depth. He's the co-author, along with L. Haley Drescher, of the new study, That's Enough Frivolity, a not-so-funny countdown of the Supreme Court's Affordable Care Act oral arguments. Dr. Malfers, thank you so much for joining us.
Sure. Good morning. Thank you for having me on the show.
You know, in the title of your study, That's Enough Frivolity, could have been prompted, I guess, by the 57 recorded instances of laughter. Let's take a listen to just one of them.
To say when you say you're coerced, it means you've been given an offer you can't refuse. Okay, you can't refuse your money or your life, but your life or your wife's, I could refuse that one.
Let's leave the wife.
Mr. Clemente, he's not going home tonight.
Let's leave the wife out. Saying it the other
way. I was going to say, Mrs. Clemente.
No, I'm talking about my life. I'd say, take mine, you know?
I wouldn't do that either.
I'm going to use that example. Forget about it.
It's enough frivolity for a while.
So what did you take away from all of these many instances of joke-telling during 3 days of oral arguments?
Sure. It was pretty interesting. In one of my prior studies, we looked at the 2006-2007 term, where there were 131 moments of laughter and 51 of the 71 oral arguments. And in this one, we had 57. So generally, laughter looks at almost the comfort level between individuals, and it typically diminishes the force of a criticism. So in this instance, you're almost seeing the justices being comfortable with themselves, one another, and the advocates.
But does it tell us anything about their attitude toward the case before them?
I think it may tell us that they may be, and particularly in the example that you provided, that they may be swimming in all of the information right now.
All right, so let's just talk a little bit about the dissection that you went through of these oral arguments. Tell me a few of the key clues that you got, especially from the justices that we think of as swing votes. Any clues in there on how they may decide?
Sure. I think we're going to be seeing Roberts and Kennedy probably aligning with those of the more conservative justices. They're going to be voting against the American Care Act, and that's based upon the frequency in which they challenged the pro-ACA parties, how quickly they interrupted them, whether they allowed them to respond at length or interrupted them and cut them off. There's a number of ways we looked at how they treated the arguments in which they challenged most frequently.
Many of us who listened to a great deal of those oral arguments got the impression that the justices were pretty hard on the government's lawyer. Did you get the same impression when you studied the transcripts?
I think that's right. I think they were hard on General Verrilli, but at the same time, General Verrilli has a very difficult task, and he is expected to articulate the arguments cogently and in a concise fashion. And in some instances, he was unable to do that, which is why the justices bore down on him in certain instances.
We're speaking to Dr. Ryan Malfers, who's a co-author of a new study that's Enough Frivolity, a Not-So-Funny Countdown of the Supreme Court's Affordable Care Act oral arguments. I wonder, I mean, you must have been paying attention when these 3 days of oral arguments occurred. When you went back to the transcripts, what did you read there that maybe was different from your impression of it on hearing it?
Well, typically when you're hearing the oral arguments, you sometimes only catch the sound bites from the press and the media. So hearing it in its totality across the 6 hours, you were really able to see where the justices began honing in on and ramping up their questioning and challenging of the government's position.
And that was on what subject? I mean, what did they really seem concerned about?
That was really on the Medicaid expansion issue. And I have a feeling many people believe that it's going to fall on the individual mandate.
Exactly. That's exactly the case. But, I mean, that's what most people believe, that the big sticking point will be this individual mandate, that you have to purchase, have some kind of insurance coverage. But you're saying that's not it.
Well, I'm saying that it may not be it. Of course, oral arguments is not a great way to predict, so to speak, but it can give you some indication. And Kennedy and Roberts both suggested that there are problems with the Medicaid expansion and, not surprisingly, the issue of federalism.
Tell me why oral arguments aren't really a predictor. I mean, one would like to think it's because the justices really have not made up their minds. But in fact, many of these justices come to oral arguments having done a great deal of research before they ever sit down. So why don't the oral arguments, why aren't they more reliable predictors of the eventual decision?
Well, I think one has to be careful in generalizing how the justices, there are nine, all come to oral arguments. Each of the nine justices may be at a different place in how they're seeing the case and how they're viewing and needing to receive information to clarify their understanding of certain issues. And oral arguments is just one step, and it's the most public step in the decision-making process. There's still a conference, there are inner negotiations for grabbing votes from other justices and trying to refine and see what other justices could live with and could not live with in the opinions. And this is just one early stage in a much longer writing process for the actual opinion.
Were the justices perhaps playing to the crowd? Were they? Do you think?
No, I don't think that the justices were playing to the crowd. I think that they get focused on their job and what they need to take care of. And oftentimes that may be trying to use their arguments to convince other justices of their position.
After all the time poring over 3 days of oral arguments, Dr. Ryan Malfers, take it down for me justice by justice. Do you have any predictions on how this will turn out?
Sure. I think we're going to see most likely a 5-4 decision against the American CARE Act, specifically hinging on the federalism issue, whether the federal government can coerce states to comply with its Medicaid guidelines that it's establishing.
And what exactly, especially in terms of the swing votes that you were talking about, what exactly gives you the idea that that's how it will come out, and who will be on what side?
Kennedy, Roberts, Scalia, Alito, and Thomas are going to be the votes of five. And specifically, we saw Kennedy and Roberts as well challenge the pro-ACA advocates more heavily than those that were opposed to the ACA, which is why I believe we're going to see them ruling against the American CARE Act.
You know, Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you probably saw, said that there's a lot of rumors swirling around. And she said, I'm going to quote her here, "Those who know don't talk, and those who talk don't know." What do you think she's saying there?
Right. I saw that this morning. I think that the court is always very secretive, and quite frankly, they may be the most tight-lipped group in all of Washington to not leak anything. Even the closest reporters that I know have no idea how this is going to play out or when the decision will be announced.
Dr. Ryan Malfers, trial consultant at Tara Trask Associates and co-author of a new study called That's Enough, Frivolity, a Not-So-Funny Countdown of the Supreme Court's Affordable Care Act, Oral Arguments. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us.
Great. Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.